We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Well, it is a very good evening to you and how you be at 8:04, 35 seconds to go right along with it. Wednesday evening on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here, you there, Peter Hoffman, Connor Green, they on the other side of the glass in the 1-877. 337-6666. That'll be the number for another 2 hour Wednesday schmooze, right up until 10, right here on your fan, New York City. And as advertised, the former GM of the New York Metropolitans, and certainly now, as we all know, with the Major League Baseball Network Radio on Sirius XM, Steve Phillips. Steve, how are you?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Well, we're coming along, especially with a wet and crazy and icy and cold Wednesday evening in February. And, of course, before too very long, we'll get down to real business of baseball games, and we all can't wait for that. We certainly waited a long, long time for at least Manny to sign. Give me your take on why it took as long as it did for the San Diego Padres to come up with years and money we never thought we'd see again.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing because, you know, here's a team that didn't get into the Manny Machado sweepstakes until January, mid-January, and it's a bit odd, right? I mean, if you know that you're going to be in on a player for $300 million, you figure you know in November. You had part of the plan in the offseason. Like, all of a sudden, you dug up, you struck gold out there in San Diego, and you got some money to spend. So it was a little odd that they were the team that jumped in on it. And I give Dan Lozano, the agent, a lot of credit. He played this one out, and, you know, he slow-played it and finally was able to sort of drive that market up because we kept hearing numbers in the low 200s, that he wasn't going to get the sort of deal he wanted. But to get the 10-year deal for a 26-year-old, which we kept hearing the teams were reluctant to go to that 10th year, you know, 9 years, 10 years, whatever, and they were reluctant to play $30 million a year. So the fact that he got it with no deferrals and an opt-out after 5 years, where it'll be interesting to see how the money's structured in the contract, because if they front-loaded it a little bit, he may opt out after the 5 years and at the age of 30 get back out in the free agent market, sign another 5-year deal, and maybe even out earn the $300 million that he has. So I don't get the deal for the Padres. I don't think that, I mean, they won 66 games last year, and I think right now they're probably a 73 win team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're spending $30 million to finish in last place again. But their hope is that they're going to be competitive in a couple of years. And sometimes you have to sign the player a couple of years too early. Because if you wait for the perfect timing, you might not get the guy. The players have choices, too, and they can say no. So, you know, it was a bit aggressive from San Diego's perspective. Small market team, not sure how they're going to compete in the future, considering he's getting $30 million. Eric Hosmer is getting $20 million. Right. Will Myers is going to get $20 million starting next year. And that's three guys for a small market team making a ton of their payroll. So, it'll be interesting to see, but it was a good deal for Machado and the agent.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And we thought we'd never see that kind of deal again, and we were beginning to think collusion here. What is going on not only with Manny, but Bryce Harper as well? And there are other quality ball players out there still as free agents who have yet to be signed. Let me ask you about Bryce Harper. And would you be shocked? Would you be just taken away, blown away, if the San Diego Padres signed Bryce Harper?
Yeah, I'll be shocked. I don't. There's no way that they can afford that in their marketplace. I know they're the only team now in San Diego, and it's the second largest city in North America, to Montreal, that has only one major sports team. But it still doesn't make any sense for them. I mean, they don't have any pitching, and any other money they have with the young prospects coming. I know they have young pitchers coming in their farm system, but they have to go out and spend money on pitching. You know, you can't presume that you're going to develop an ace. You're hoping that you get some young kids that can grow and develop and be part of the pitching staff. But, yeah, I can't imagine how they could do it. It sure feels to me like the Phillies and Bryce Harper are the two left, and the, you know, the music's going to come to an end, and they're the two left to dance without a partner. The problem is this, and everybody keeps saying, oh, Bryce Harper is going to get more than $300 million. He's going to get more mm-hmm. than $225 million. Mm-hmm. What I don't understand is who are the Phillies negotiating against? Because the White Sox made it clear they're not willing to go beyond 8 years and the $250 million guarantee. And everybody else that has any indication seems like they're only in on a short-term deal. And the Washington Nationals have spent the Bryce Harper money on Patrick Corbin and Annabelle Sanchez and Brian Dozier. I don't think they're in anymore. So the Phillies may be the only game in town. And the question is, do they have the courage to call Scott Boras' bluff? Because we keep hearing reports they've got a couple offers beyond $325 million. They've turned them down. I don't know who those teams are. And usually by now we know who they were because teams don't tend to hold on to that kind of money without making it clear that they're in on it. So it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up going.
And certainly, God forbid, the Yankees would be going after Harper because, after all, he's a left-handed bat.
Well, he fit their lineup. I mean, you know, they could use the left-handed bat to break it all up. But, you know, here's the thing. They're going to go to the playoffs without signing him. And they've got a chance to win a World Series without signing him. And if they sign him, there's no guarantee that they win a World Series. And then it complicates the roster, the playing time, the long-term planning. I mean, any sort of a contract, for me, any contract they would give a Bryce Harper right now for a long-term deal, that would in some way prohibit their being able to sign Aaron Judge to a long-term deal mm-hmm. at some point would mm-hmm. be a mistake. I think Aaron Judge is better than Bryce Harper. I think he's one of the top players in the game. I think he's second to Mookie Betts among corner outfielders in Major League Baseball. And so I wouldn't want to enter into a deal with Harper if it meant at some point I couldn't afford Aaron Judge for the long term. Mm-hmm. So I think they're better served not going that direction.
Sure. And, of course, you're making perfect sense. You're being reasonable, you're being sensible, you're making right on sense, good sense, and why the Yankees would not go after him. Why, if you can, now let's see if you can make some sense out of why the New York Metropolitans don't go after Bryce Harper.
Yeah, well, I think that you know, they are going to get Cespedes back. Now, he's got a couple years left on the deal, and so their argument will be that, you know, they've already got a $29 million guy they can't afford to. They're pushed to the limit with their payroll, with the additions that they've made. And now here's the thing. I personally would love to see him in a Mets uniform. And I would love to have seen Manny Machado in a Mets uniform as well, and think that they could have, you know, created some justification. And quite honestly, I might have gone Machado over Harper for them. I think Machado's the better player. I think Bryce Harper, Bryce Harper has no business being the highest paid player in baseball. He was ranked 78th in WAR, wins above replacement, mm-hmm, last year, including mm-hmm. pitchers and position players. Mm-hmm. He is a streaky player that has peaks and valleys in his career. Now, his peak was phenomenal, as he was the MVP in 2015, and his valleys are still a good player. But he's not always playing at an elite level. Machado is a better defender. Harper's defensive metrics are so bad that you could actually make an argument that he should be a designated hitter. He was the second worst defensive outfielder in baseball last year, negative 26 defensive runs saved. And so, you know, where people didn't, and National League teams had no interest in J.D. Martinez because of his defense, everybody's in on Bryce Harper, yet his defense is actually analytically and statistically worse than what J.D. Martinez was. So, you know, I don't think he's that bad, but I don't think he paid enough attention to it. I think the Mets, you know, Machado would have been the better fit for the Mets in the long run with the infield position. You could have put him at third base for the long term, let Todd Frazier be the sort of Wilmer Flores of the season this year, to be the first base, third base backup, and go that direction. But listen, the Mets are a better team. There's no question about that.
If you were GM of the Metropolitans now, Steve, would you be giving Cy Grom an extension?
Oh, yeah, I would. Now, I would also recognize that it's a difficult issue because of his age. You've got a couple more years of control for him, but you also recognize that because he was sort of a late bloomer, you know, he's getting to that age where teams right now are shying away from extending players with significant dollars. Because, I mean, he's, you know, right now he's 30 years old. He won't be a free agent until he's 32, and he'll play that next season. He'll turn 33 in his free agent year in June. And so, you know, that's where the analytics, where the numbers today are saying players start to decline. They start to diminish in performance. So I would hope that the team and the player would have some recognition of that issue. If DeGrom wants to look at himself exclusively as a Cy Young Award pitcher and want to get paid at the age of 33 like an elite level pitcher, it's going to make it a complicated and challenging negotiation. I would have thought that Brody Van Wagenen knew what the number was prior to taking the Mets job. He should know what the number is now, and we'll see if they can't get it done, because if he can't get it done, then I suspect he goes to free agency.
Nobody knows what it's like to be a GM more than you do, that's for sure. And certainly with the New York Metropolitans, did they do the right thing hiring an agent as their GM?
Well, you know, I mean, these things are you will only know once, you know, a few years go by. I mean, it was a bold decision. It was out of the box, no question about it. I think there's a different sort of learning curve for somebody who's not been within an organization to understand that it's more than just, you know, signing and trading players. It's running a minor league system. It's putting a scouting department together. It's having a plan and a vision for what that is, and having a system and how you want it to be the sort of the best way of doing it. And you know, one of the things that Brody had said was, it's always been about the players for me. It's still going to be about the players. Well, it's not always about the players. It's about the organization. It's, you know, and many times you make decisions that may not be in the best interest of an individual player, but they're the right thing to do for the team. And, you know, that will be a challenge for him. But listen, he's been aggressive so far. I love somebody willing to just sort of go for it. I mean, that's kind of the way I wanted to do it when I was general manager. And, you know, sometimes you make mistakes when you go for it, but they had a vision. They put it in play. What I do like is that one of the things the Mets have always been, I think, guilty of is they get close, but they don't finish the job. And what I think they did this year was they finished the job on a lot of areas. I think the Jed Lowry signing was finishing the job when it came to depth in the infield. I think Todd Frazier is more of a backup right now.
Sure.
And Lowry gives him a switch hitter than a legitimate offensive player that can play all over the field but can certainly play third base. Then I think Justin Wilson, being added to the bullpen late, finished the job of the bullpen to add that left-hander there. So, listen, they're doing a lot of really good things so far, and we'll see what Robbie Cano has. And look, Cano for this year is going to be great. 5 years from now is another question of what that's going to look like. But, you know, and that's a bit of the old school mentality of, yeah, I'm going to take a chance because it helps me now, and I'll figure out the problem later. You know, I got caught in that a bit, and you know, my era of general managers did, and now teams are completely shying away from the older players, right? And where all of the anger is coming from the players this year in free agency, really what they're saying, the reason players are mad is that teams aren't making the same mistakes that they used to. And their argument is, wait a minute, you used to give us 31, 32-year-olds four-year contracts. We want you to keep doing that. Why aren't you doing that? And because teams aren't, players are sitting out there unsigned because they haven't accepted the fact that teams just aren't playing under the same rules that they used to play with.
Sure. And Jed Lowry today has to have an MRI on his knee. What do you think it is with the Metropolitans and injuries?
Yeah, I would have thought that Brody Van Wagenen would maybe find a way to change that bit. But, you know, look, he's an older player, and that is one of the risks you run with older guys, right? And we've experienced that in the past with the organization, and they've had it with young guys too. Now, it sounds like it's just a tweak. Nobody seems very overly concerned about it. But, you know, the older the player, the more the aches and pains can start to wear down, because this is a game that it's not exclusively where you have an acute injury. It's a wear and tear game, just the grind of getting out there every day. It's a pitcher continuously throwing the baseball. It's a position player being on his feet every day, day in and day out, batting practice, game situations, spring training. And the older you are, the more prone you are to those sorts of injuries. And certainly they hope it's something minor that can get cleared up quickly.
Let me ask you something, and maybe I'm putting you on the spot here, and if I am, you'll be able to handle it, that's for sure. Do the Wilpons know how to win?
Well, I think they, I think they want to win. I tell you, I defended them one time and people went nuts. I talked to Fred Wilpon every year for every day, multiple times a day for 7 years. And I will tell you that I know what his passion is. I know what his competitiveness is, and I know that he wants to win. I also know that they run the team like a business. In some regards, professional sports, people get worked up about that. Like, I never did. I thought, all right, well, it's your company. You own it. You can run it like a business if you want. And the way that we always used to develop our payroll, and look, I had decent enough payrolls and significant enough payrolls, I never had a complaint about it, was that they would sort of budget to break even. They'd project revenues, work off of that to come up with what the payroll was, understanding you got player development and scouting cost of about $18 to $20 million a year that come right off the bottom line. You've got operational expenses for the stadium that are part of it, salaries and everything else, and you'd come up with your budget. I actually think that the Madoff situation in many ways crippled the Mets, and unfortunately for them, it became part of the evaluation where people just didn't have the understanding that it was a significant financial hit. They don't want to hear about that. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to hear about, what it meant for them and the cash flow issues it created and everything else. They just said, look, you're owning the team. Deal with it. If you don't want to keep doing the team the way we want you to do it, then sell the team. They love the team. They love New York. And so, I didn't begrudge them from finding a way to survive that time. It feels like maybe now they're starting to come out of it a little bit. And I would actually venture a guess that maybe they've gone a little bit beyond the payroll this year that they first set out to accomplish, knowing that they were kind of caught in the middle. They were in that place where they could maybe go for it, but maybe they should tear it apart. They opted to go for it, which, I might have opted to do a different thing. I might have opted to say, let's tear this thing down, get prospects, rebuild it the right way. They opted to go for it, and, for that, I think deserve some credit. But, yeah, they want to win, they're miserable to sit next to during games. I will tell you, it's absolutely miserable. When things aren't going well, it was so painful. So, Fred would pound the table. Jeff, in a way, just because he loved the team, not because he was mad at me or anybody else. He wanted to win.
Before I let you go, and I can't thank you enough for your time, from that, the rules of the game, to speed up the game, I'm all for hiring faster players. Give me your take on, and also keeping those players in the batter's box. How much time would we save, do you think, Steve, if Major League Baseball players stayed in the batter's box between pitches?
Yeah, my big pet peeve is if you have a rule, then execute the rule, then enforce it. Make sure that it happens. So if the rule is batters can't step out of the batter's box, and they do, then issue the penalty to keep them in the batter's box. Now, in the minor leagues, I've seen the pace of play stuff work. Hitters can't leave the batter's box. There's a pitch clock. And it works. And you've got players who are now trained in the minor leagues, kind of the big leagues, and just get the ball, get on the mound and pitch. And so we'll have it, we're moving into a generation that at least has been groomed that way. I'm all for a pitch clock. What I'm not in favor of, though, is limiting the number of pitching moves that a manager can make. I think that you can't tell a manager, go win the game, and I'm going to tie one hand behind your back because you can't do this, this, and this to try to win the game. Visits to the mound, you want to limit that? I'm okay. But you can't limit the number of pitching changes for a manager. Right. And I don't think it's fair to him, and I don't think it's fair to the team. You work really hard to try to win the game. You can't try to do it now with circumventing certain rules. But I think we pay a lot of attention to pace of play, and it's a good thing to do. I'm hoping we can put systems in place that we don't have to keep talking about it. It could just get better, and we can now focus on the quality of play.
Steve, I can't thank you enough. And please, when you see him next soon, say hello to Steve Cohen for me, would you?
I sure will. He is a good man, and so are you. Glad to be on with you.
Thanks so much for your time, and it's appreciated. Steve Phillips with Major League Baseball with the Major League Baseball Network Radio on Sirius XM, and of course, former GM of the Metropolitans.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.